thankful that you are here today to be a part of this service, as always. I mean, we got a great looking group of people this morning. Some are smiling, some are not, but that doesn't mean you're unhappy. Just because you're not smiling doesn't mean, I don't always smile when I'm happy, but I am happy on the inside, amen? So I hope and pray at least today you are, maybe you're not smiling outwardly, but hopefully and prayerfully you are happy on the inside, and that's what counts the most. So, you know, today I heard a sermon, not today, but I heard a sermon, I think it was last Sunday. I was coming to church, and you never know how the Lord's going to speak to you, and you never know when. But I was coming to church, and, you know, I've been reading my book on the book I told you that I've been reading. It's really started, I've only made it to the second chapter. Don't let the enemy have a seat at your table. That's what I've been reading. But then last Sunday, I was coming to church, and I heard a sermon being preached somewhere in here in Coleman at one of the churches. And the pastor was preaching on being, he was talking about complacency. And so it really spoke to my heart. It really spoke to my spirit. So guess what we're going to be talking about today? We're going to be talking about complacency. We're going to be speaking about being satisfied and just being comfortable where we're at. Everybody comfortable this morning? That's the main question. Are you comfortable? Are you hot? Are you cold? Are you just right? Everybody, it's a little bit warm in here, but I feel pretty comfortable. I don't have my jacket on this morning. So I told Dan, I'm not wearing my jacket today. I'm just going to wear this. So I feel pretty comfortable that I can move around up here this morning and just be satisfied with what I'm doing. But in your Christian walk, in your Christian life, it's not advisable to be comfortable. Amen? It's not advisable to do that. We are to never, ever become satisfied or comfortable with where we are. God wants us to grow. God wants us to branch out. God wants us to do ministry, not just, you know, I ask this question many, many times, but we need to keep asking it. We need to keep hearing it, and we need to keep reminding ourselves of who the church is. Who's the church this morning? People? I don't hear nobody. We are the church. You and me. We are the church. We are the hands. We are the feet. We are the mouthpiece. We are the eyes. We are the body of Jesus Christ. We are the church. We are God's church. So over in Matthew, I'm going to start right there. Over in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30. Now, I may not read all this, but I want to read some of it because I got a lot to share this morning with you. And I got some very good points to share with you this morning. So maybe today you'll leave not mad. See, sometimes I'm guilty too. I like calling people, but sometimes I don't make all my calls. I like going seeing people, but sometimes I don't allow myself time to do that because I'm tied up doing other stuff. But when it comes to the ministry of God, I'm a big cut up and carry on kind of guy. I like to joke. I like to laugh. I like to cut up and carry on. But listen, anybody else? Anybody else like to cut up and carry on? I know you do. I know you do. But when it comes to God, I'm serious about God. I'm serious about preaching the Word of God. And I'm serious about ministry. I'm serious about trying, you wouldn't believe the people that I talk to. I invite them to church and they tell me all the time, say, yeah, preacher, we'll come see you. We'll come and visit you. But I don't want them just to come to the church because I want another person sitting in a pew. I want them to see God in me. How many want other people out in the world to see God in them? Not just by what you say. Anybody can say, I love God. Anybody can. Anybody can say, I really am praying for you. Kelly, I'm praying for you every day. I just want you to know that. But doing it is a different story. But now listen to this story over in Matthew 25, starting in verse 14. It says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1, each according to his ability. See, we all have different abilities this morning. Now, you may not be able to get up here and preach. You may not be. Anybody want to try it? If you do, I'll share the pulpit with you. If you want to get up here and God's got a word on your heart, I'll let you do it if it's led by the Lord. But you may not want. No, preacher, I ain't good at preaching. Well, you may not be good at praying out in public. You may not be good going to the hospitals or funeral homes or nursing homes. Maybe you're not even comfortable with stepping inside of a prison. But there are other people that are. And that's why it says here that God's given each one of us different abilities so that we can do the work of God. So it goes on to say, then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. And now after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled his accounts with them. The one who had received 5 bags of gold bought the other 5. Master, he said, you've entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. In verse 21, it says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. And then likewise, the man with the 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now to the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is here's what belongs to you. Now, if you'll notice down here in verse 26, I'm going to go ahead and finish the story. So it says, his master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. That's some pretty harsh words. You wicked, lazy servant. That's what he told him. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. And he goes, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have even what they have will be taken from them. And throw the worthless servant outside in the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what did you take from that story? It's kind of like this I read this week. Either use what you got or lose what you got. Listen, the Lord has given us the abilities and the talents to use for His glory. Amen? We had a lady stand up and praise God for the report that she got on her health. Now listen, I would say that's pretty good reason to invest your time in serving the Lord. I would say this morning that if you don't use what you got, what's the point of having it? If God's going to give you the abilities and the talents to go out and serve and invest, and I'm not talking about investing money. I'm talking about investing your time into other people. If you want to win, when was the last time I can't remember the last time I have actually been able to lead someone in the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus Christ. Anybody in here? When was the last time that you have heard anybody in your family, your friends, that you have led? Can you remember the last person you led to the Lord? Do we even ask them, do you know Jesus? The most important question that we should be asking anybody that we ever encounter every single day. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you know if today was your last day on the earth, would you go to heaven or hell? But I don't hear people asking people that anymore, because I believe that we have gotten complacent. I believe that we have gotten satisfied. You know, the Bible says that we are to live what? A godly life. Now that doesn't mean, now don't flatten my tires today, okay? Don't flatten the tires on the car, because it's Pam's car. But listen, this is not a message of condemnation. This is actually a message of encouragement, so that we might be brought to our attention by God the things that we should be doing. Because it's very important where you're going to spend your... How many believe it's very important where you're going to spend your eternity? It's very important. It's the most important thing that we have. Above all things. Above all things. All money, all material things that you possess over your new car or whatever it may be. Those things are going to fade away. Those things are not, they're just going to fall apart. My central unit fell apart. We had to have it replaced. But your eternal salvation will not fade away. It's the most important thing that you could possibly ever receive. And that's why it's most important for us to be out about the Father's business, making sure that we're not passing anybody by that needs to know Jesus Christ. And there's several ways we can do it. I'm kind of a bold guy. I'll just ask you. I'll just come out and say, are you going to heaven or hell? Do you know Jesus or don't you? Do you want to know Jesus? Can I pray with you? Do you know where hell is not meant for you and me? It's never was created for you and me. Now let me tell you a little story this morning. I always liked Jesus. I always loved Jesus when he told stories. He told parables. I got you a good story this morning. Are you ready for it? Now picture this. I read this week a story about a hare and a tortoise. Everybody knows that story, I think. They were in a race. Everybody know that story? They were in a race. Now I read this story and it really caught my attention. The hare had a big giant lead. Man, he was running, giving it all he's got. But then he thought to himself, you know what? That old tortoise, he ain't never going to catch me. I think I'll just stop right here for a while. I think I'll just rest. I think I'll... And when he stopped and he started to rest, guess what? He fell asleep. And now he fell asleep thinking that he was already the winner. He thought that I've got this in the bag. That old tortoise, he ain't never going to catch up with me. But guess what happens while he's asleep? That old tortoise went right by him and won the race. So that tells me something this morning about that story, church family. Complacency is a dangerous thing. And we got to start what we finished. Finish what we start, not start what we finish. But we got to, once we start the race, we can't stop. We got to keep on going. I see old Kelly over, he's all kind of buffed. I bet he exercises every day. Don't you, Kelly? See? And if he doesn't, guess what? All that body of muscle he got, it's going to fade away. And he'll get as weak as I am. But listen, we're in a race. And listen, you know what that old hare, you know what he was looking at? He was looking at the finish line. He was looking at the prize. He already thought he won the prize before he ever even crossed the finish line. But he never made it. He never made it. And the tortoise beat him. So we don't want to be like that. We got to finish the race that we have started with the Lord. And that means not just living a godly life every day. I could stay at home. You could stay at home today and never go back to church. And you could read your Bible every day. And you could pray unto the Lord and give Him praise at home. You could. And you could never go out and witness or do any investing in the world, ministry-wise. And guess what? You'd still go to heaven. Now, the Lord ain't going to be too happy about that you didn't go out and do any ministry. But you are still guaranteed to go to heaven. Am I lying to you this morning, church family? Am I telling you the truth this morning? According, thus saith the Word of God. We can all go home today and say, man, I don't preach. He preached a pretty good word. But it's up to you what you do with it. I'm choosing to serve the Lord as much as I can. I want to lead people to Christ. I want to see lives changed. How many want to see lives changed? You know what I hear all the time? Here comes a testimony. Preacher getting on a testimony this morning. Can I tell you what I hear all the time? How bad people are. Oh, so-and-so, those people are so terrible. Debbie, those people are so terrible. Those old bad people, those old scoundrels. But do you know what I don't hear? I talked to one of those scoundrels the other day. I prayed with one of those no good people the other day. I led one of those no good people to the Lord the other day. What would that do to your life? What would that do to your spirit if you were the one? They say, well, preacher, that's your job. No, that's not my job. It's part of my job, but it's your job too. Amen? Am I lying to you there? You're a minister too. You just don't know it. We're all supposed to be ministers of the gospel. You're supposed to be going out ministering as well as I am. And searching out, seeking out those who are lost. Praying for the ungodly people. That's how you're going to win them to Christ. The toughest thing to win a soul unto the Lord, and I already know this, is to love them. Amen? To love them. But how are you going to love someone that you don't love? You're going to ask God to help you love them. And I'm learning that. I'm still learning that. I should know that by now. But you say, well, you can't love everybody. Yeah, you can. You just have to love them at a distance. If you can't love them within arm's reach, then love them at a distance. Listen, I want you to get this picture. If you don't, this is way off key this morning. But I want you to get this picture this morning. When Christ was up on the cross, He didn't just have His hands like this. His arms weren't like this in a hugging formation. They were like this. You see what I'm saying? You see what God wants you to hear this morning? God's hands, Jesus Christ's hands were out like this. That means He stretched out His arms as far as the east is from the west so that He could save those which were dying. Amen? Am I telling you the truth this morning, church family? That is straight from the Lord this morning. I don't have no script up here this morning. That just comes right from the heart this morning. That's how far. That's how much God. Where's Carson at? Carson, how much does God love you this morning? This much. He loves you this much. Church family, how much does God love you this morning? He loves you this much. Right here. And the scars in the hands, the scars in the feet, prove it. He did it. He loves you that much this morning. So either you're on fire. You know what? You know what they told? You know one of the laziest churches? I got to touch on this. Over in, let me find it here. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 14. One of the letters to the churches of, let's see, what was that church? I hope I pronounced this right. Laodicea. That was one of the most laziest churches there was among all seven. And the Word of God says in chapter 3, verse 14, I know your works, that you are neither hot nor cold. I could wish you were either hot or cold. Listen, God doesn't want us to be lukewarm. Amen. He don't want us to be lukewarm. He says either you're hot or you're cold. One of the two. You can't be hot and then cold. It's one or the other. You can't serve two masters. For you'll love the one and hate the other. I just read off of my lectionary, or not lectionary this morning, our responsive reading. It says that we believe that no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Listen, the Lord is telling us today. He knows. He knows you. He knows me. He knows you that are watching on social media today. He knows what kind of fruit we are producing. You're either producing a lot of fruit or no fruit. You're either producing good fruit or you're producing bad fruit. Does that connect with you this morning? Now listen, I got a choice to make. I want to produce good fruit. Anybody else with me this morning? I want to produce good fruit unto the Lord. I want people to look at my life, Sue, and say, hey, oh, Phil, he's producing some pretty good fruit. I would like to go over and see how his fruit tastes. And that way they can come right up to my tree and pick off a fruit and say, hey, you know all those fruits we're talking about? We just read them this morning. We just read them right here. And I'm going to read it to you this morning again. We believe the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How much love do you have this morning in your spirit? How much joy do you have in your spirit this morning? How much peace? Anybody could use a little more peace? Anybody? I could use a little more peace. How about a little more joy? I could use a little more joy. How about a little more love, Freddie? You need a little more love? I could use a little more love. Who wants some more love? Maybe not from me. My kind of, what about God's love? What about agape love? Can you use a little more agape love this morning? Okay, how about kindness? Anybody can use a little dose of kindness? I can use all these. I can use a little more generosity. A little more faithfulness. Man, I could always use that one. That gift right there, God could just pour me it down and just run me over with faithfulness. I would love to have more faithfulness. What about gentleness? Man, I'd take a double dose of that. Maybe a triple dose. And what about self-control? Man, you're talking about self-control. Kathy, I could use all, if God was a water hose, and I could just turn that faucet on wide open, he can just stick it right down in me and fill me up, I'd take all he could give me. Because I need all the self-control. Because we're living in a crazy world. If you don't know it, we're living in a crazy world. And there's short supply of self-control. Because everybody's ready. Listen, everybody's ready to throw on the boxing gloves. Everybody's ready. Sometimes they ain't got to worry about boxing gloves. Somebody, they're just bare-knuckled. They're ready to beat you up. So, I mean, we're all ready just to retaliate on somebody or beat somebody up or beat somebody down. You know what? I don't have to beat you down with my hands this morning. I can beat you down with words. You ever been beat down with words? I have. Many, many times. But that's where it takes self-control. That's where we don't need to be complacent. And we need to be able to stand up and defend ourselves using the Word of God. Amen? And there's where you're going to succeed. There's where you're going to have a breakthrough. There's where you're going to have a revival. I hear that word revival all the time. Deanne, we just talked about revival. Listen, when we talk about, I'm going to close with this. I know I got a lot more to share, but it'll keep. When we talk about revival, we are talking about not a revival in the church, just for the church house, like inside these church walls. A revival starts right here. You know how we get to a revival? We start praying about it. We start praying and meditating and asking God, desiring a revival. See, this is something we should have every day. We should have asked God to desire, to tell God, say, look, God, I desire a revival in my spirit today, every day, not just sometimes. Yeah, it's great in the church when we have singers come in and you get to listen to other preachers other than this one that keeps rambling on. And you say, man, this has been a great revival. Man, I've been a part of a lot of revivals for days. And listen, I want you to know, it is a spiritual high. But how many days after a revival's over, how many days do you feel like that spiritual high just... it just slips away. It drains right out of you. And then you forget about it. You say, man, did we even have a revival? But a revival is something that happens with inside your heart. A renewal. How many could be renewed today in their hearts? In their spirits? Inside their minds? Man, I got a lot of junk up here in this mind. I take in a lot of junk every day. But I don't want it there. I don't want it in my mind. And I don't want it in my heart. And I don't want it getting down in my spirit. Because all it's going to make me do is be complacent. It's going to make me not want to serve God. It's going to make me angry about this and that that's going on in the world. But if I would just learn to have a revival every day. Listen, I would be a lying preacher this morning. I'm going to close with this. I'd be a lying preacher today if I told you, you'd get up and leave right now if I told you I knew when Jesus was coming back. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't believe me, would you? Because the Bible says no man knows. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I do know this. It may be in my lifetime. It may be in Carson's lifetime. But I have a feeling, I do believe by faith that he's coming back. Anybody else? I believe he's coming. I believe Jesus Christ is coming back sooner or later. So what does that mean for you and me today? It means that we, if he come back right now, what would he find you doing? Now, if he came back at the moment, you'd be in church. Amen? You'd be right here in church where you're supposed to be. But what are you doing in your spirit? What are you doing to serve God? That's the big question, and I can't answer that. All I know is what I'm doing every day. So be aware. Complacency is very dangerous. Look around you this morning. You want to know why churches are so empty? I'll tell you why churches are empty. That I believe, by the inspiration of God, by the direction of God, people are complacent. They're happy with what they're doing. They don't need the Word of God. They don't study the Word of God. They don't even hear the Word of God. And they're happy with where they're at, but they struggle the most. I struggle. But these kinds of struggles I have is guaranteed by God to come to help me grow. But guess what? If you don't have God on your side this morning, you're not going to do much growing. You're not going to have many breakthroughs. And you're going to be always asking, why? The Lord is the answer. Don't you believe this morning, church family? The Lord is the answer to all our problems, to all our situations. When He answers our prayers and we give God the glory for it, we see what happens. We know what happens. When God lets me have a breakthrough and dealing with things that are beyond me, when I finally realize that I'm not in control, when I finally realize that I am not in charge. And see, that's what it is. A lot of people want to be in charge. Everybody wants to be in charge of something. I got people that I work with. They're not my boss, but they think they are. They tell me what to do, and you know, I look at them like, you're not in charge of me. Won't you stay in your own lane? But we got to walk in self-control and the fruits of the Spirit. All right, are you glad you got up and came to church today? Did the Lord speak to you in any way today? I hope so. I know He speaks to me all the time. And I thank you for allowing me. I thank God for allowing me to even preach the gospel. I'm an unworthy servant. I don't want to tell you that. I'm not even worthy. As John the Baptist told Jesus, I'm not even worthy to stoop down and unloosen the laces on Jesus' sandals. But only by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus Christ that I am made worthy, and I am very valuable to the Lord. And so are you today. So leave with that thought today as we pray. Heavenly Father, most gracious God, Lord, I could stay up here for hours, it seems like. But I know, Lord, we have other things that we got to do, places that we have to go. But God, thank you for your word today. Lord, I'm always just amazed as I stand before you and you entrust with me with serving you and witnessing for you and preaching for you and all the things that I'm able to do every day, Lord. It doesn't always go the way I would like for it to. And maybe I hope and pray, Lord, that each one of us are making you happy, Lord, with what we're doing out in the world. God, it's great that we come to church. It's great that we invite people to church. But God, what we learn from the inside these church walls, what we gain from each other, Lord, the strength to keep going, God, that's where it counts the most. And we take it, Lord, out into the highways and the byways, Lord, and share it with other people, Lord. People that we don't know, people that we may not like, People that we may even be mad at or who knows what. But God, we thank you for putting these people in our lives. We thank you for showing us that we have to be humble enough to go out and do your work. So Lord, let us all be busy about your work. And God, and someday when in this time lifetime, if you come back or if we don't see you until we reach heaven, God, we pray that you will tell each one of us the same words, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. And we'll be glad, Lord, that we have done all the things that we could do while we were here on this side of eternity. So God, now we ask your blessings on each person that's here today, that are watching on social media today, Heavenly Father. And God, we ask that they be blessed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these things we humbly ask now, all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.